This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Teams from Calvert Hall, Frederick, and Hammond meet today on It's Academic.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at tmospodcast.com or anywhere fine podcasts are found.
Welcome to our show.
Just play the hell out of it.
It's got to be focused.
So look what I found.
This is good.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara,
Mike,
Josh Schroka,
Josh,
and Rob Spiewak.
Oh, Rob.
It's a special Jar episode. Now, here's Josh and Rob.
You know, it's funny, when it's 10:30-ish, you know it's time for a Jar episode of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Is this the last Jar episode?
Maybe. We'll see. People have to tune in and find out. But you know, all the Jar heads, they will love it no matter what, because it's just going to be great content. I don't know if I'm making any sense at all. Josh, I can't see. I've never done a broadcast with my eyes dilated before.
So you had the eye doctor, what, first thing this morning?
Yeah, 8:45. And you would think an eye doctor would want their office easy to spot, but it was hidden behind like a foresty glen of trees. Well, so I drove by it like four times before I could get there. And they kept me a while. They were obviously in no hurry. I hate and detest having appointments before the show because if something goes wrong, the whole time you're worried about it.
There's always stress.
Yeah, but do my eyes look zombie-like? I can barely see myself.
Not that I not. Let me see.
A little bit dilated. Huh? Yeah, a little
they
bit.
They are dilated a little bit.
You know what? People think I'm just saying I went to the eye doctor when in fact it's just me strung out on drugs.
Right. You dilate yourself every Thursday.
Every day. I'm a great dilator. We are your dilation station. So I had to do that this morning. Had a lovely attendant that greeted me there. And she went through all the stuff. And, you know, you hear all the same thing. You're going to feel a little bit of pressure. And they blow that air in your eye. She had a great, she's from Georgia. I really liked her accent. And then the doctor
How was the hot air balloon?
The hot air balloon.
That's still what you got to stare at, right?
No, it was a farmhouse with long fence. Well, yeah, I mean, nothing but the best.
I guess so. I went, 6 months ago, and it was still a hot air balloon.
And it was a painting, an oil painting, right?
right.
Now, when you did your eye test, I did horribly at the letters. Every O was a Q, every Q was an O, F's looked like P's, the whole deal. Did they do with you, when they were checking your eyes, a pinhole test?
Well, what's a pinhole test?
I had never seen this before. You know, they give you that thing to cover your eye, right?
Yes.
So you can do each eye, right? This thing had like a slide thing that would cover the hole with a bunch of little pinholes in it. And you look through one of the pinholes and then you do the same test again and your vision gets better if you look through a pinhole. And I asked Scarlett O'Hara, my lady, I said, why does that happen? And she says, well, it's sort of like a mechanical simulation of squinting your eyes. I said, oh, okay. But you wouldn't think that looking through like a little hole would actually make your vision better. But I could read the letters like you know how they go in stages? I was able to go an additional two stages with the pinhole test. But you'd never seen that.
So it's like it forces your eye to focus or something, I guess.
Something. But either way, the doctor was very excited to tell me that if my eye was an M&M, a chocolate-covered, you know, candy-coated chocolate M&M, that my chocolate's okay, but my cataracts are on the candy coating. And
That's good. I don't know. You would be going to a much bigger doctor if the chocolate inside was the problem.
Not necessarily. You see, age-related cataracts invariably happen in the chocolate. That's the most common kind. Mine, we're teaching chocolate. People. They happen in the chocolate. You don't want them necessarily be in the chocolate. But mine are candy-coated cataracts. That is CCC if you want to know the business. So my candy-coated cataracts can be brought on by multiple features, which include family history, diabetes. You know, I've battled it in the past. And also occasional steroid use will prompt it. And I've had steroids because of my years at the gym.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, no. Steroids I was on last year to defeat my cough. So all of this made sense why I don't have I have candy-coated cataracts, and I'm not in the chocolate. But I don't know if you remember when I had my first eye exam, and they brought in the slicky boy doctor.
Yeah, it was a sales pitch.
That's all it was. And they quoted big prices, and insurance was never mentioned. And at this place, they said, well, insurance doesn't like to cover laser surgery because they think that is like an upgrade. But with your current insurance, for no cost, we can do a manual cataract surgery, which is, you know, that's how it was invented. I'm okay with that.
Right, right. So we won't use the laser, but we can go in there by hand and scoop them out.
I said, don't worry. I got razors at my desk. I can do that. And then after they do that, you get a monofocal lens, which means that they tune the lens so you can see at one distance. I guess at mine, it would be at a reading or at a computer distance.
Yeah.
And then they said, and then you get glasses. Get glasses. And I said, well, what if I got the duofocal lens, which was both near and far? Then it jumps to $3,100 an eye.
Get a pair of glasses.
But here's what's wild is that the other place, the sales pitch place, and I'll mention them by name, Dulles Eye Center, it's not in the airport.
Yeah,
it's near the airport. But,
yes.
So they didn't mention the insurance option at all. And they said, really, what's best for you is the one that costs $4,900 an eye. That's what you need. And so I'm thinking $10,000 now for free and a pair of glasses, I'm set. So I think that, you know, I'd like to have dual focus, but I don't know that I want it $6,000 bad.
No.
So,
no, at least you're not like me that has the one eye that can see close and one eye that can see far.
Oh, he told me about that. I said, doesn't that make people nauseated or fall down? I felt it would be like being on one of those enhanced reality 4D rides at Disney.
No, I've gotten used to it. So for the most part, I don't notice. But every now and then, there'll be something where I'm like, why is that so blurry? Oh, this eye's barely covered.
Is that why you mostly walk in circles?
right. Well, that's the ears.
Okay, but
that's the balance.
The good news is that after I get the surgery, I'm going to look just like this. I'm going to be so happy.
That's going to do so well for the podcast.
Yeah, it is. It really, really is. I'm very. Oh, I could look like these guys too. Look at all these happy people that can see.
Why?
Meanwhile, I can't see because of the eye dilation. Driving home, I mean, it was like literally a 3-mile drive. All the cars to me look like stuffed animals. I should not have been on the road. Yeah, I had
don't they
to.
Don't they tell you not to?
Well, the doctor who, again, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, looked like he could be my son. He was a kid. I mean, young. And he said, well, your eyes might be light sensitive. Do you have sunglasses? I said, do I have sunglasses? I look great in sunglasses. And he said, well, be careful driving home. Well, I made it. So that's good.
Good.
All this. And then I found out you are close enough to DC. I didn't realize that the grand poobah of this organization, this eye center, and this is not Dulles, this is a different one, is run by Dr. Boutros.
Who's Dr. Boutros?
Dr. Boutros in the mid-90s would advertise on the Stern Show during Metro traffic reports. Like, this traffic report is brought to you by Dr. Boutros. He was one of the founding fathers of LASIK surgery and stuff like that, and laser surgery. I don't get Dr. Boutros. I'll get Dr. Reisner, who my mom is actually, because she used to work with the hospital. She's familiar with this guy. He's very good. But it was weird that I actually recognize the name of one of the surgeons. So anyone who's listened to radio for a long time would know the name Dr. Boutros.
Yeah, you connect everything to radio.
I do. You can check that out. Oh, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because if you want to hear me connect everything to radio, this is the day for you. Happy Founders Day.
Yeah, it's our Founders Day.
It is. And would you like to explain?
Yeah, it is Founders Day for our new show, Still Talkin'.
Right.
So I think we shared last week that Still Talking is going to be your Thursday show starting next week.
Right. Let's run this. Hold it. I want to play this.
Rob Spiewak.
Josh Sucker.
Still Talking.
Beautiful. Yeah. My, you know what? Thank God the dilation drops didn't harm my hearing.
No, it sounds great. Mm-hmm. But as we've covered many times, Mike O'Mara is retiring.
Yes.
Right after the cruise in January. We are continuing, but with a new show called Still Talking that we are starting now.
Sidelight, are we allowed to say that he is retiring? I forget, is he moving on?
He is retiring from the Michael Mara show.
Yeah, let's be specific.
He is not passing. He does not have health-related issues.
No. Well, I know. No one ever said he was dying. I just wanted to. He's going to continue. He's doing more stuff after this.
Yes.
Just not the Mike O'Mara show.
Yes. And I'm sure he will be ready to share what he's doing soon. And I can't wait to find out.
I think his main concern was he didn't want to do as long a show, and he didn't want to do it as frequently. And
the commitment.
Yeah. And after as many years as he's had his name on his show, he's earned that. So the Thursday next week, the real debut of Still Talking is very exciting. And because it's Founders Day, that sort of happened spontaneously because you posted something on Facebook.
Well, you somehow in our conversation yesterday, you referred to today as Founders Day because today was the day that we would turn on Still Talking for founders.
Right.
So you can come and support us and become a founding member of our new show, Still Talking. We appreciate all the support you've given the Mike O'Mara show.
We love it.
And so the way this is going to work is on Thursdays, the Mike O'Mara show will be Still Talking.
I am so thrilled that even before we really even discuss Founders Day, just based on a Facebook post, that we've gotten a few founders signing up, and it's thrilling, and I think it'd be really appropriate at this point to say thank you to our very first founder, Jolene White, who I told her, I said, you know what, thank you so much, you're my favorite. She said, I bet you sent that out as a group text. I said, no, Jolene, because no matter what happens, you will always be our first founder. So that's great stuff. Thank you, Jolene.
And now, so we posted it on Facebook yesterday, turned on the Facebook page. So you should go like the Facebook page. You should go to your podcast app and search for Still Talking, with no G, and subscribe there to get us. There you will get the free show, the Thursday show.
Right.
If you become a founding member over at stilltalkingpodcast.com.
And remember, that's T-A-L-K-I-N, because we don't have time for G.
Right, no G. So here's what you get. If you become a founding member, you get a year of our premium show.
Right.
Which will be the Friday shows, just like we did with the Mike O'Mara show. We will be starting those up in October.
Right.
But you get access to the Founders Vault, which will only be for founders. So when we open up months from now, monthly and normal memberships, they won't get the Founders Vault. The Founders Vault currently has two episodes, and it will have two more in it.
And they're hour-long episodes, and just to let you know what they are entitled, essentially, How We Got Here. And a pretty detailed, I think most of the people that are TMOS enthusiasts know my story because it's been told 1,000 times. But we go over it again, and I think we established some detail that we never got to.
No, I learned some new things on yours.
And Josh had a whole host of things that I didn't know about him. So check those out. They're really cool, but you got to be a founder to do it. And it's not just a stone cold donation. You get the honor of being a founder and you get the extra content.
Yeah.
And I think probably some swag down the road.
Well, that's what I was going to, I'm going down my list.
Oh, okay. Founders, I'm sorry.
You also get, like I mentioned, you'll get the Friday shows that we're going to start in October.
Mm-hmm.
You get a Still Talking t-shirt, pin and sticker, which we will mail out probably around November.
I have a prototype of the pin.
I know. The pin looks awesome.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I love the idea of doing pins now for things.
We were talking actually that when things get going, that a pin is more effective than a business card. So who knows? We might be rattling when we walk down the street when we have pins in our pocket, unless we're like Lyndon Baines Johnson and when we sit down, the pins fall out with our knife.
Right.
Call but back.
Now here's the other thing.
Okay.
You will instantly when you sign up
instantly
be entered into the Still Talking Hall of Fame, as we have a wall of Bounden listeners.
Right, exactly.
And here's why you want to go and sign up right away.
Why is that?
It is sorted by the order you sign up.
Oh, so not alphabetical, not by
it's
height.
It's not alphabetical. It's the order you sign up.
Now, so and it's not by gender. It's not by gender. It's not by social security number.
Nope. It's not by race.
Or age.
No. It's by the order that you sign up and say, I am going to support Rob and Josh. Now, I want them to be successful.
Is it true that the founding, the Hall of Fame is going to actually be carved in the side of the Kennedy Center? And that Congress has said we're allowed to do that.
No, yes, yes, except then three judges blocked it.
Darn it! Oh, I'm so, sorry,
won't
founders.
Happen this time.
So it'll be a virtual wall.
It's a virtual wall.
But when I think back to when we launched TMOS, the podcast, when we launched the Mike O'Mara Show on WJFK, it's a big deal to start a show. And to have you guys by our side for the launch, even before we've launched it, is really rewarding and really nice. So thank you all, and we appreciate anyone who even takes a look at it. So yeah, go check out stilltalkinpodcast.com.
Yeah, it's Founding Day.
Founders Day.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't want Founding Day is different.
Yes, that's different. Founders Day.
Founders Day. So
and
yeah,
I
that's
see
cool.
I see Mark saying, I need a Still Talking coffee mug. Yes, you do. We all do. But we don't
I think
have,
we all do, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I don't have the store up and running yet, but probably will by this weekend.
What if, Mark, there goes Mark in the chat room. Hello. What if I took a coffee mug that wasn't a Still Talking coffee mug and wrote Still Talking on it with a Sharpie, and I've got a nice Sharpie with a thick point, and sent that to you? Worth something?
I'll get real mugs up before
that. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you a deadline because I got mugs I could mail. I think I have one on the... Yeah, I've got one right here. Hold on. This could be yours. This is actually a William Castle coffee mug, but I could cross that out. And it could come and still talk to me.
That's not going to work. We'll put nice ones up because we have. I like
now
our blue.
Now you're saying this isn't nice. Okay, I
it's
get
not
it.
Nice.
I get it.
I like our blue and red logo.
I do too.
And I think that'll look awesome on a coffee mug. So we will get those up.
Josh, you did all the design work and it's beautiful. The graphic design work is lovely. And my favorite part is the three dots.
The three dots? Yeah, like because we're still talking.
We're it's still
how our text threads
talking.
Go back and forth all
dot,
day.
Dot, dot, dot. I love it. So yeah, do check that out. And thank you for joining us today. Now, our lead story. My eyes will be corrected and I think free, and I'll give myself some new chunky glasses. I'm beside myself. Do you know yesterday I was putting an album into Discogs because I have keep them all organized that way, right? I used a dedicated lamp, and what do you see this? This magnifying glass, which is genuinely a magnifying glass I keep at my desk. It's
for
huge.
Your computer screen?
No, not for my screen. If I'm reading something, but I use the dedicated light, reader glasses, and a magnifying glass, and I still had trouble reading the runoff groove on a record. And I said, this is stupid. And as I told Carrie last night, I haven't read a book in 2 years because I can't see text anymore. And, you know, you can't, like, enlarge the text on a printed book. So I'm excited to read, and I've already selected the first book I will read once my vision is corrected.
What is it?
I ordered it on Electronic Bay. Are you familiar with this auction website?
Okay.
Electronic Bay?
Yeah. So yeah. It's an old, you got it off of eBay, so it's an older book.
Not only older, it is a second edition, which means it was printed in 1936.
What are you going to read?
I'm going to read Gone with the Wind. I'm going to read the novel Gone with the Wind. I've seen the movie dozens of times, but I've never read the book.
And is this a thing that you thought of in celebration of when I get my new eyes, what do I want to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, I also will enjoy being able to drive at night. That'll be a nice side light. Being able to read stuff will be great. Being able to look at my phone without zooming in will be nice. But I've missed reading. I just can't read anymore. And somehow it was so gradual, my vision decline, that, you know, I never really noticed it. And now it's going to be fixed. So I'm excited. I'll be able to see everything on the cruise. everything.
Right.
Menus, no secrets. Yeah. No secrets, no. And it's all because I don't have problems in the chocolate. I've got candy-coated cataracts. That's the reason. All right. You know, I think even though I jeopardized this with my fascinating eye care stories, our lead story is something is happening for Labor Day weekend, not the telethon, that Josh and I have been working on pretty much since you started with the show.
Oh, yeah. And I guess it took Mike retiring.
No, I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think it's because Carrie finally had a free weekend.
No, it's something we've discussed since we have been classified as friends.
Yeah, yeah. And that is Josh has invited Carrie and myself to join him and Kelly in the Outer Banks, and we'll be spending Labor Day weekend together. And we're vacationing together. It's sort of like Bob Newhart and Don Rickles. Does that mean anything to you?
No. Okay. I mean, I know those people who those people are. I do not know that they vacationed together.
They were legendary friends in real life, and they vacationed together. So that's sort of I'll be Rickles.
No, I'm
going to be Bob Newhart.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am too.
I was thinking last night talking to Kelly. I don't think we've vacationed with another couple.
Mm-hmm.
Ever for Kelly and I.
Okay.
And I can't remember besides like family.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd invite my brother, but he wouldn't make the drive.
No. Well, you could like send a car for him.
It's a long drive. No, he's in the middle of being a professor and all.
So but the Outer Banks is it roughly halfway for us?
No. It's forever for me.
Okay.
I don't know why I keep going. It takes me as long to drive to the Outer Banks as it does to drive to Annapolis.
How can that be?
Because the Outer Banks is an island. So there's you have to go up and then go all the way east.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just stay on 95.
Okay. Well, I'm going by boat. Will that save me time?
No, I've made the mistake.
I've made the mistake.
Once, many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. I was going to the Outer Banks because we are going to my parents have a house there.
And I think people will remember that earlier this week we revealed that your father is now concerned about who's going to get the house when he passes, and no one's very interested in it.
Well, no, that's not it. In fact, we did not talk about it on the show.
Oh,
we can.
I'm sorry. I get mixed up, and my eyes are dilated.
Right.
So.
As people get older, they think about wills and passing things on and everything.
You want to make arrangements. I mean, that's just courteous. Yeah.
So we got an email last week, me and my brother and my sisters from my dad saying, hey, you want to decide what to do with this big house in the Outer Banks. We love having everyone here, but we need to make preparations. Do you guys want to sell it? Do you want to keep it? Whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of implied that you four should get together and talk about this.
Okay, so you guys, the decision is on the siblings, but then your dad will sign off on it and put it in the arrangement.
We're
somehow
supposed to say what we want.
Okay.
So like we do, we all ignore it for a couple of days.
Yep.
And nothing.
Now, when you ignore an email from your dad, who, I mean, he's not technologically... He's technologically literate. He texts. He's not an old man.
No, but, I text with my dad nonstop with the Orioles.
But what about email? If he doesn't get an email reply right away, is he going to send you a reply that says like ?? Or is he going to let it sit for a couple days?
Well, this email that he sent had a deadline of August 31st.
That he set a deadline.
He set a deadline. He gave us... It was 10 days. We had 10 days to make this decision and let him know.
Hey, there goes Mark, just became a founding member. Happy Founders Day, Mark.
Hey, thank you, Mark.
I love it.
We'll get that mug made right away.
That's right. Exactly.
So he gave us a deadline of August 31st. And my dad does this thing.
I would reply and say, deadline, get it? That's a pun, right, Dad?
Exactly. And I know my family listens to this and all. But they all know how Dad is.
Yeah,
he sends a like super serious email.
Yeah,
it used to be once a year. Now it's probably every 6 months. So you read it, you think about it, but you don't always respond to it.
So these are all this yearly, semi-yearly email is about arrangements, and we can say that because it's a very polite way of talking about
this
the will.
One was about arrangements.
Okay, sometimes what are the previous ones about?
Sometimes it's health related. Sometimes it's just hey, this family friend passed, and it okay. got me thinking about
all right.
life.
All right. Because like, your dad appears to be quite healthy.
He is.
Okay.
He is. My parents are quite healthy.
Yeah, I talked to him on the phone once. He was very kind to reach out, and I really liked talking to him, and he seemed like, yeah. and I said, so how long you got, old man?
Well, I did. I will say, as we all ignored the email.
Right.
I did call my mom.
Yeah.
And say, hey, there's a 10-day deadline here. Is something happening on day 11?
Yeah, I was going to say, what is the penalty if you don't meet the deadline?
I don't know what the deadline was for, except it's just how my dad works.
Do you have like a childhood friend that your parents liked? Like, for example, I always liked when Robert was growing up, I had a friend named Aiden who was very cool. If you don't reply, is there any chance that your childhood friend will get the house?
No, okay. I don't think so.
All right, just checking. Because I'm trying to figure out, if you set a deadline, there's got to be something behind it.
I don't think there is, except it's just how my dad works. Is okay. like, he was a CFO. I don't think he is now. I think he's fully retired.
But he did accounting, right? And so he's very pragmatic and detail-oriented. He likes stuff done.
Exactly, very much like... Like, and it's a serious email, so he wants a deadline, so we don't just ignore it like some of the other emails, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
So I did, first thing I did is check to my mom, make sure they weren't planning to die on the 11th or 12th or like go skydiving or something, figure out why the deadline.
Yes.
And I was not given a proper answer, so it's just how my dad is, and that's fine. Then I just ignore the email some more.
Yeah.
And
I think, I think that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I think it was 2 days later. Matt sent a text to the siblings.
Okay, but not your dad or mom.
Not my dad or brother.
Okay.
And he said, I know we all just want to ignore this email. And generally that's what we would do. But we are supposed to get together at Christmas, and I feel like if we don't respond, this could cause an issue and ruin Christmas.
Yeah, well, I don't know that it'll ruin Christmas. It'll certainly make it. It would be nice to have this resolved, yeah. even for Thanksgiving. Because, you know, there'll be phone calls made at least.
Right.
Yeah.
So we decided, all right. Let's hop on and do a meeting. And because no one in my family pays for Zoom, we all met here on StreamYard like we were recording a podcast.
I love it. And the very moment you started the meeting, I phoned you. And you did not pick up. And you sent me a picture of the meeting.
Oh, yeah, I sent you a picture of us
family meeting.
In StreamYard.
Yeah. Now, does your dad and mom, or I should say do your dad and mom, do they live in the Outer Banks or do they have another house?
They are 6 months in the Outer Banks, 6 months in St. Augustine.
Oh, snowbirds.
Yes. Yes, they are snowbirds.
How close are they to you? Because you also live in St. Augustine.
We'll get it. We need to discuss another time about how... St. Augustine, Jacksonville, North Florida is messed up.
I will drop the topic like a hot potato.
It's as simple. They live 45 minutes away.
Okay.
So how's that still St. Augustine?
I don't know. That's like Houston. Houston, everything's an hour away and you're still in Houston.
It's the same thing. It's like my sister lives in Baltimore County.
Okay.
And I lived in Annapolis, and that was a 45-minute drive.
Right.
But you would go through like seven different little cities.
Yeah.
And it's all just St. Augustine.
Well, I'm sure it has something to do with profit somewhere. It has to be, the way it was zoned.
Or I think it has to do with they weren't supposed to be this many people.
Okay,
and it was all farmland.
True. Okay,
and
that
then
makes
it quickly
sense.
Quickly came in.
Okay, so that was just simply a sidelight. So where do we stand? Okay,
so we all met.
Right, the family meeting.
The siblings all met. And
did you record it?
I did not record it.
Didn't live stream it? That would be funny. No. You wouldn't have to announce it, but if someone just happened to catch the live stream, that would be awesome.
It would be funny. But it turned into mostly, hey, let's catch up, because Matt and I talk every week.
Right.
I've seen my sister Laura a bunch this summer,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't seen my sister Robin in probably a year. Maybe I might have saw her at Christmas time.
Right.
I don't remember.
But it's also a different dynamic when just the siblings are together.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's exactly. So it's just the siblings. So we were catching up on life, and then we had to discuss what to do with the home.
Okay.
And the decision we came up to is, though we would all like a vacation home, and
sure.
though we all understand the value of like investing in real estate,
sure,
we don't want to work with each other. So
valid. Mike had some issues with his house, the family house in Maine. Same issues.
Well,
it's been documented.
And my issue is like, let's say, the hot tub will die. And I'd have to say, all right, guys, we got to
Nice when the hot tub is not working.
I'm just thinking of something stupid because it'd be like, all right, guys, hey, we need to, I know we've been making a little bit of money with renting this thing out, but everyone that goes there expects a hot tub. So we got to spend $7,000, $10,000. I don't even know what they cost dollars for a hot tub. And I know.
Can you still win hot tubs on The Price is Right?
Probably.
I always thought that was one of the more useless things you could win because they're massive. And unless you already have one, where are you going to put it?
In my apartment.
Your little studio apartment.
But but the thought is, all right, I know how this will go, is I would send that, I would be the oldest one. So I'd have to take the lead.
Yeah.
And say, and then I know my sisters would respond with, well, is that really necessary? And then I know my brother will respond with, here's one for $200 I found on eBay.
Exactly. He's on Facebook Marketplace.
Exactly. Or here's an inflatable one. That'll work.
I don't think we need a new pump because I looked on ChatGPT. I think I can fix it if you buy me a wrench.
Right, right. Well, no, I don't. He's not handy. He'd tell me to go fix it.
Well, yeah, but the cheapest way would be to fix it yourself. Right. You might consider it.
Who but knows? I realized through that where my first vote was, hey, let's keep the home. Let's rent it out and use it, and it'll be a great place for us all to meet up.
Yeah.
And I quickly realized that, no, you don't want to go into a – at that point, you're going into business with family.
Yeah, it is. And
I don't want it – this house has a lot of great memories for our family. I don't want those memories to turn into bad memories.
Yeah, you don't want them sullied.
Of family business.
This might be too personal. You can tell me to screw off if it is. Is the house owned outright?
It is.
Oh, wow. That's great. Okay.
So it'll be a nice inheritance one day.
Well, what's wild about this is that if you four were to collude and be the house owners, you won't have dad as the arbiter or the final say-so. Because as it is right now, you're still his kids. And so when something like that goes down, you answer to dad. And it's going to be, and once he's gone, most of that responsibility would fall to the oldest. And you don't want that.
I don't want that.
No, not at all.
No. I don't mind taking care of my family. And I like being the oldest.
And you're very fond of them. And you check the boxes and you visit.
But I don't want to go into business with my family.
No, I think that's smart. I think that's very smart.
My brother did mention right after that meeting how we should be, forget the Outer Banks, we should be looking into getting a condo together in Baltimore.
You know, actually, though.
Ball games. And I was like, I had convinced myself I don't want to do something with Matt, but that wasn't a bad idea.
No, that's a pretty good idea. And you could, you know, Airbnb it if you're not out of season. And,
And you know, and I've got games.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I love going to Baltimore in the fall. Right. I could borrow it.
Exactly.
But that's all contingent on whether or not this weekend vacation goes well for all of us.
Yeah, we'll first try a weekend. We'll try 3 days, whatever it is.
I'll have to tell you this. It's Labor Day weekend, and I will charge you with keeping me in a good mood because I hate Labor Day now that the telethon is gone.
Well, we'll find something to do instead.
Because I know, but Labor Day to me indicates end of summer, that's a drag. Indicates going back to work or school, that's a drag.
Right.
And there's no telethon to soothe my anxieties. So I just, Labor Day is one of my least favorite holidays. Well, of course, as I get older, I hate more. So there's that.
I think we'll spend Labor Day, you know what we'll do? We can record some Still Talking.
Okay, I'd love that.
We haven't done a in-person podcast.
Could we do it seaside so we can actually hear the ocean behind us?
Perhaps.
I know you don't much care for the ocean.
No, you want to do it in the pool?
I don't want to do it in the pool. You can be in the pool. I'll play lifeguard. Yeah.
Right.
When my father...
We'll figure something out.
Before my father got sick, and, you know, he passed away in February, he and his wife, Kathy, got together and wrote out the most detailed plan for all of their belongings. So no decisions were left to me as his kid. Kathy and I, we conferred on some stuff, but everything's already planned. So
I'm sure
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, and I'm sure my dad's planned in the same way because he is very much a planner, very much a fairness, like down the line.
Now, how does
also
how does mom figure into all of this?
I don't
Is she a planner? Is she a follower? What does she do in the whole thing? Because if you were to say, Dad, we're selling the house, and will Mom say, oh, dear, I don't know if you want to do that.
No. What I did is I crafted a nice email.
Okay.
Because I'm the oldest, so yeah, at the end of our StreamYard meeting, the decision was Josh has to send the response email.
And you used AI?
Of course.
Of course you did.
I used AI so it looks nice and professional.
Okay.
I just put in there about how we love the house. We have so many great memories and everything I said here. And we just decided.
How long has the house been a destination for your family?
I don't know, 25, 30 years?
Wow, that long. Oh, so you do have...
Maybe this specific house, maybe 25 years.
That's a good stay. That's a good long stay.
Yeah.
So... Right now, my father's house on the Eastern Shore, Kathy is still unsure what to do with it. And we've talked at length about it. And it gets down to the point of, you know, what would he have done if he was still around? And I know because I was at his side when he built it. And this house was, he selected everything down to the color of the roof, to the wood on the floor. I mean, yeah, everything. It's his design. And while he was doing it, he said, this house is great. You're never going to have to paint it. Robert will never have to paint it. This is going to live on forever. And this is going to be our family place. But of course, that's before he married and things, you know, changed.
Yeah.
So what happened, though, is, and this was so lucky, is we were just trying to figure out what to do with this house. And ultimately, I hope we keep it, but I don't think it's practical in any long term. And out of the blue, the gentleman that cuts the yard there, because, you know, she's not there often enough to maintain the yard. They've got a guy that comes in and does it. He called and said, there's a family who's building a house near here and they want to be around while it gets built. Would you be open to renting your house for the next 8 months? That's good people.
Awesome.
And it's like a godsend because now we don't have to make a decision. We've got people living there and we don't have to worry about it. So that's very cool. Well, keep us updated because I didn't realize that. And also, if I like it after Labor Day weekend, who knows? Maybe I'll buy it.
Right.
Or I could be a fifth partner.
I hope to enjoy it for many, many more years.
Yeah, well, I imagine so. Yes, of course. You never want to think about stuff like that. So,
right.
Okay, speaking of parents, I was going to do this later in the show, but I want to do this now. I played on the Beautiful Video segment a few weeks ago, maybe a week ago. It was Yogi Berra talking about AMF bowling equipment, a classic old television commercial that was notable not only because it was Yogi, but also he literally had pit stains from sweat during the spot. It was not the best looking spot in the world. So because I clicked on that, I'm getting all sorts of vintage bowling stuff. And I thought this was a pretty funny video. I think even the audio is funny, but when you see it with the pictures, it's great.
Bowling centers of tomorrow. In the bowling centers of tomorrow, innovation is key. From automatic ball returns to new ultra-modern flooring, more slippery than any merciful god should allow. Plus, new ball retrieval designs offer exciting new ways to pulverize your fingers.
I love bowling.
And what would a modern bowling center be without a spontaneously materializing family? And there goes father, a fortuitous roll. Looks like he'll only be forfeiting one quart of his blood. Now it's mother's turn to roll the thing into the things. But first, she opens the vent to wave politely at the man below the floorboards operating the machine. He'd like to wave back, but unfortunately there isn't enough clearance to move his arms.
Well, Mom's a lefty.
Mother has passed beyond the boundary of remembrance.
Where's the
buzzer? She will no longer be able to recall one of her loved ones. But look at those pins fly.
So, classic bowling, it always appeals to me. I love bowling. I've looked into getting into a league. It's a little hard to coordinate up here, but I love to go bowling. You have?
I've done a league. I loved it.
Okay, cool.
So
you didn't make friends because you don't have any friends, but...
No. I had friends at the time. I did it in Maryland. So I did a team bowling thing with some friends.
So this is funny that you bring up Maryland. Because you're in Maryland, this is a more regional thing. I know in New England they had candle pin bowling, which was tall, skinny pins. Did you ever bowl duck pin bowling?
All the time. I love duck pin.
Okay, duck pin is key to me. I actually own my own duck pin balls, and that was my nickname in high school, duck pin balls. But it is a smaller ball, a shorter pin, almost duck shaped.
Yes.
And you get three shots or three rolls per frame as opposed to two. That's right. the only difference.
Yeah, and the pins are a little bit further spread out because they're physically smaller pins.
Smaller, but you also get more pin action because they bounce around because they're lighter.
Yes.
Okay, but that being said, duck pin is almost extinct now. There's a couple alleys. One
Savannah
is owned,
Park has one.
And then there's a guy I know of, a former radio guy, still a radio guy some, but he owns one, and his name is Chris Roth, and he's a very good guy and a duck pin enthusiast. And my grandfather, William Stalkup, who I call Big Daddy, was a pro bowler, but a pro duck pin bowler. In the 1950s, he was literally nationally ranked, like fourth in the nation, I think. And when Chris Roth was cleaning out some old files at this bowling alley he owns, he found a promotional poster of my grandfather that said, bowling in this tournament, William Stalkup, like his picture on it and everything. So it was like a big deal. And it was so cool. And when we'd get my grandfather wouldn't talk a lot about the past. So it was always fun when you got a nugget out of him. And he mentioned, he said, you know, I said, you were really a good bowler. You were on TV. He said, yeah, I was on Bowling for Dollars. What was a pretty big deal, though, is when I got flown out to Chicago in 1950. And I said, what's all this then? And there was a promotional film made in 1950. It was called Let's Go Bowling. Now, this is not a parody. This is the real movie. Let's Go Bowling, presented by the Bowling Association of America. Oh, and it has Ned Day. Does that mean anything?
I don't know who Ned Day is.
Of course not. They're pro bowlers of the 1950s. No one cares. Okay, so that gives you an idea of what this... Really, it looks like a movie you'd see in elementary school. The foreword, this picture is dedicated to the millions of Americans who have shown through the selective patronage. They appreciate outstanding surrounding... Okay, blah, 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 blah. And as you get into it, it shows like an average American family bowling in 1950.
Start all over again.
And it looks very much like the parody thing we just watched.
Let's just imagine that our little party is joined by two of the ablest bowlers and bowling teachers of all time, Ned Day and Marion Lattawig.
Tough lady. So my grandfather talked about this movie, and none of us had ever seen it. He had never seen it. I assumed it had been cut up into guitar picks years ago. But with YouTube, my Uncle Dana found it. And because of that, that is the only surviving footage of my grandfather actually bowling, because they did a portion on duck pin bowling, and I'd like to show that now.
Yeah, I want to have
it. Because we talked about my grandfather forever, but this is him 1950. So I'd like to say he's a kid. He'd be like 36 here, but much younger than he was when I knew him.
Duck pins. About 2.5 million of America's bowlers are small pin enthusiasts. Duck pin bowling is the most popular of the small ball, small pin varieties of the game. Most of the fundamentals are the same in all varieties of bowling.
He is
in
so smooth on his delivery.
Games, you use the same basic approach. Of course, the small ball requires a different grip and release.
Now, sadly, we didn't find this till after my grandfather passed away, but we talked to him about it, and I said, how was the experience? He said, I hated it. I said, why? He said, because to save money at the motion picture budget, they just set up duck pins at a 10-pin alley, and the dimensions are slightly different, and he could not get a strike. He couldn't because it wasn't regulation.
Right.
So when you see him leave like the 10 pin standing or do a 4-7 like he had there, it was making him so mad. And you can see he actually looks angry in
the
part of these.
The ball is held the same natural way you pick it up off the rack.
Yeah.
You grip it with the fingers and thumb.
I remember them.
It does not rest in the palm of the hand.
It doesn't, Josh.
It is held equally balanced in both hands. Slow motion now.
So great.
Watch the release of the ball. It rolls off the fingertips with no twist of the wrist.
I mean, you have to admit, his delivery is amazing.
Yeah.
Here's the release again.
I always thought you want to put a twist.
No, not in...
Straight
I think,
off the fingertips.
I think the twisting is more of a 10-pin thing.
With the floor.
I guess so.
This is more... I think duck pin is more about power.
In duck pins, the beginner should bowl a straight ball, cross alley to the strike pocket.
See, he's so disappointed that because that he knew that was a strike ball right there, and he got mad.
He was angry, but he was holding it in for the camera.
Oh, I bet you that's really cool. I will say this: to call him hard-headed might be accurate. So I wonder how he dealt with a Hollywood director or a Chicago director, for that matter. But I love that, and I just wanted to share that because I thought that was cool. Now, I believe there is a bowling alley on our cruise, isn't there?
I don't know. There might be.
I know there was on our last cruise, but the new cruise is coming up, isn't it?
There is, and yes. I've got the ad.
I thought we were going to try to segue in smoother than that. Of course, mine was pretty ham-handed to begin with.
We are.
So, yeah, maybe we're going to take a cruise.
We are going to go on a cruise.
Yes.
One last show, one last cruise, one hell of a send-off. Before it heads off into the sunset, the Mike O'Mara Show is heading out to sea. And this time we're making history. Join us January 21st through the 25th as we sail from Tampa to Cozumel for 4 days of sun and fun. Meet and greets, swag, and the final episode of the Mike O'Mara Show podcast recorded live with you in the audience. This isn't just another cruise, it's the last hurrah.
Hey, start again, pick up with this isn't just the last cruise with a smile in your voice.
With us.
Yeah.
No, I'll keep on going.
Okay.
Get all the details at tmospodcast.com or call 1-800-814-7100 and use the group code 4435 and be sure to tell them you're with TMOS. Book today, lock in your price. One last voyage, one last show, one last chance to do it together. Let's go out in style.
Is that your first ad read since you did one on Big O and Dukes?
No, I've had to do prize picks and stuff before. I've had to do others.
Okay.
But yes, if you go and become a founding member today for
Founder's Day,
you will get the episodes we discussed and you will hear a clip played of me doing an Amazon read on the Big O and Dukes show.
From 1912.
From 2011. And it's not quite the same voice you hear now.
No, and we explain it in the clip, but you are having yourself a day.
It was quite the day.
Hearing that clip for me is worth everything we've put into launching Still Talking because it was a true treat.
You know when you find a clip and you're like, well, this is embarrassing, but I know I have to bring it?
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Yeah. I felt that way when I brought in the Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson clip originally. But I seem to have misplaced it.
We will get the ads sorted, so in Still Talking, they are more seamless.
Exactly. We've had so much celebrity death in the past 7 days. I know that people try to simplify it and make it be in like triplets, but this has already been four. We mentioned briefly on TMOS.
Only two count.
Shelley Fabre counts to me because Shelley Fabre not only had a hit record and a television star on two big series, she was in three Elvis movies. I didn't even mention that on the show because I didn't want to piss Michael off.
We had enough Elvis argument.
Yeah, I think we did enough Elvis talk this week. Yeah. But she was in Girl Happy, one of my favorites, Spin Out, not one of my favorites, and Clam Bake, one that I avoid. But she did three movies with Elvis, which is pretty good. Also, of course, we lost Dolly Parton, which is the most tragic. People are still posting left and right about it. And what's so amazing to me is even after her passing, I think in a way Dolly is still doing good because when people talk about how great she was, it's almost an inspiration to be better.
Do you think her family can resist putting out that last song that she recorded for 20 years? She recorded a song saying it'll go out when I'm 100 years old.
Yeah, I think they will wait. But probably not 20 years. And the fans will love it. Of course they will.
They will. But in 20 years from now, will all the fans be dead?
Well, you could have said the same thing about Elvis, and he's been dead, what, 49 years?
Yes.
A lot of them are dead, but he's remembered.
Elvis didn't pass when he was 80 years old.
That's true. He didn't pass anything. That was the problem. Dolly. Oh, and I did want to mention that, and I do want some feedback on this notion, but this Friday, tomorrow, I should say, I'm going to do a Rob Radio saluting Dolly's records.
I think
I picked out like maybe 20 of Dolly's biggest hits. I'll tell some stories, go through her whole career, and play all the hits and stuff that you probably have never heard before. So do check that out. But what I do want feedback on is, as we launch the Still Talking feed, I have missed doing Rob Radio, my music radio show. And if there's an audience for it, I'd love to throw it in the feed sometimes. So if you dig it, let us know. We got really nice response on the Elvis Death Day show.
Yeah,
so
I think the answer is yes, keep doing it. People want it.
Also passing, it was announced last night, J.P. Morgan, who did you ever, you would have never seen The Gong Show, right?
Oh, I have seen The Gong Show. Gong Show used to be my sick day from school. Watch The Gong Show.
So the original Gong Show, she was a regular panelist, perhaps best known for the fact that one time she took her shirt off on the Gong Show. I believe there was a lot of cocaine going on that set, so maybe bad decisions were made. But what not a lot of people know is that J.P. Morgan was actually a pop singer and had a number three hit in 1954. The name of the song, That's All I Want From You. Now, this is pre-rock and roll, of course, but to have a number three hit, that's a pretty big deal, I think.
A little love that slowly grows and grows.
But anyway, so we lost J.P. Morgan. She was 90, I believe. And if not a showbiz stalwart, you know, someone who was absolutely recognizable. Even Josh remembers The Gong Show. But the one that hurts, not Dolly bad, but pretty bad, was Tim Curry passing away. I remember, I think the first time I probably saw Tim Curry was when I saw the movie Annie in the theater, and he played Carol Burnett's brother. I believe his name is Rooster. But everything he did, he went 100%.
My wife is younger than me.
Yes.
And when I told her,
Jerry Lee
is the one that told me that he passed, and I said, oh, he's my favorite part of Clue.
Yes.
And she said, well, I only remember him from Dunstan Checks In.
But you know what? Even though Dunstan, it's a monkey movie.
I've never seen it. I know it's a monkey movie.
Even though Dunstan Checks In is a monkey movie, and I think that should be its own qualifying class of motion picture, he's good in it. Many people initially and automatically think of him as Dr. Frankenfurter in Rocky Horror Picture Show. This may surprise you. I don't like that movie.
I'm glad to hear that.
I've watched
it. That means I won't have to watch it on Hicks Nicks.
Oh, just by saying that, maybe I'll give it a second chance. But he made that movie in 1975. I didn't realize he created the role on stage before the movie, when it was just called The Rocky Horror Show. You mentioned Clue. He starred in the London production of the show Hair. He did Spamalot on Broadway, and one that I had forgotten about, and I'm sure you remember this, he was the original Pennywise in the TV movie It.
Yeah, and It.
Oh God, he was scary in that. And he did Long John Silver in the 1996 Muppet Treasure Island. And he was the kind of actor that could, as they say, chew the scenery, really get the most out of a part. And somehow, even if it's a monkey movie, he came out smelling like a rose. He did such a good job. But you mentioned Clue. Clue was one of the earliest movies that we dissected on Hicks Nicks.
Yes.
And I love the movie so bad. I always have. And when we were talking about it at length, we found common ground in saying that he was the best part of Clue.
Yes. The ending where he is running around trying to explain what happened is the best 5-6 minutes in the movie.
And I know it has to be several takes, but the speed and the perfect diction and the way he does it, he makes you tired watching him.
I like to think it was a one camera shot.
God, that would be, it would be amazing. With his background in theater, who knows? Maybe. But the wordplay in Clue is such that, and we talked about this too, that even if you watch the movie three or four times, there's going to be stuff you miss because the wordplay is clever and it's fast and it's understated. And it's hard to sell a pun and keep it understated. I found on the YouTube a clip of Tim Curry's best moments from Clue. And if this doesn't make you smile, I don't think you're listening to the right show. Rest in peace, Tim Curry.
And who are you, sir?
I'm Wadsworth, sir. The butler.
What exactly do you do?
I battle, sir.
Professor Plum, you were once a professor of psychiatry, specializing in helping paranoid and homicidal lunatics suffering from delusions of grandeur.
Yes, but now I work for the United Nations.
So your work has not changed. That sounds like a confession to me. In fact, the double negative has led to proof positive. I'm afraid you gave yourself away.
Are you trying to make me look stupid in front of the other guests?
I don't need any help from me, sir.
That's right.
He had threatened to kill me in public. Why would he want to kill you in public?
I think she meant he threatened in public to kill her.
Oh.
Well, he's certainly dead now. Why would anyone want to kill him twice?
Well, we all make mistakes.
I love his tone the entire show.
Yes.
Your first husband also disappeared.
But that was his job. He was an illusionist.
But he never reappeared.
He wasn't a very good illusionist.
And also, after watching it, how can you not just want to turn to someone when they ask you a question and say, no. Don't say no. Say no.
Oh, I like the I buttle.
Yeah, but that is such a simple joke, and it is so perfect. When you talk about his tone, there's you know, people that do the serious business of comedy say, if there's eight people in a room acting nuts, it's not funny, it's annoying.
Right.
If you have seven people in a room acting nuts and one person that's sane watching them do it, that's funny. And even though he has his own quirks in Clue, one of the reasons the movie works is that for the bulk of it, he is that guy, that understated, calm guy that reacts. And it's the same theory behind both of the Bob Newhart shows. He was surrounded by crazy people, but he reacted to that stuff. Yeah. Green Acres, too.
Oh, so. I agree with you 100%. While we are talking about movies real quick.
Yeah. So Tim Curry was 80, just like Dolly. So weird. Okay. Yeah.
Last week, I did have a chance. Last week, you mentioned Gail Daughtry in the Celebrity Hall Pass.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I had a chance to watch it this week.
Attaboy, how was it?
And here's what I can give you. Mm-hmm. You are correct. The ending is The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, the whole movie is, really?
The whole movie makes me... I was not thinking Wizard of Oz while watching the movie.
Okay.
I was thinking Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. Dude, where's my car? It's that genre that then makes me wonder if all of those movies are also Wizard of Oz style movies.
Well, I mean, if you look at it as a group of people, diverse people, going on a journey, searching for something that may or may not be there at the end, that's the theme of The Wizard of Oz.
And constantly distracted by weird things.
Exactly.
And all. So it made me rethink those other, like, movies about, well, it's all based on Wizard of Oz.
Well, there's only two or three ideas in Hollywood, and they've all been stolen so many times. But this is a very direct lift.
But you're right. Gail Daughtry's a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Did you like the evil female drug kingpin, essentially the Wicked Witch of the West? I thought she was great.
She was great. I love how they're like, at the very end, we're not even going to hide that it's Wizard of Oz. We're bringing a hot air balloon.
Yeah, and no spoiler alert. I think that it is, I mean, there are a billion silly movies out there, but this one is silly and uses it as a wonderful weapon. The silliness is great. But I do want to say this about The Wizard of Oz. It's not only a journey movie, it's also a monkey movie, just like Dunstan Checks In, because it has flying monkeys.
This might have to be a still talking theme in the future.
But monkey movies?
Where we rank monkey movies.
Oh, I think that at the very, well, Wizard of Oz has got to be at the top, but Every Which Way But Loose with
is Planet
Clint
of the
Eastwood?
Apes a monkey movie?
Or is it? It's no, no.
Well, all apes monkeys count as monkeys.
Everything counts. Everything counts as a monkey in all this classification.
All right. So beneath human.
Yeah.
But and so chimps, monkeys.
Apes. What are orangutans, as Mr. Burns would say on The Simpsons.
All right. Iran, well, I'm not prepared now, but let's come back to that later.
With more monkey movies. Yes. Exactly. And you know what? Even Friends is a monkey TV show.
Oh, so then, yeah, I guess so.
Because of what Marcel, the capuchin monkey. Ironically, you know what isn't a monkey show? The Monkees.
No, that would have to... Yeah, we have to figure it out.
Yeah,
there's plenty
will.
Of monkey movies.
Yeah. You know, it's I had to get up early today. I had to get dressed, you know, and get out and get to the eye doctor. And you want to look good when you go out. And if you want to look good, really, there's only one place you got to go. And it's all you need. It's Quince. Look to Quince. Quince has been my go-to all summer long. The fabrics feel elevated. The fits are clean. And everything, it just works. No need to overthink it. It's just all the wardrobe staples for looking cool and keeping cool. I got the linen pants, and there's something magical about a Quince t-shirt. I got it in light blue, which is awesome because it makes my eyes positively pop. But if you put a t-shirt that's not like a beat-up concert t-shirt on, a nice t-shirt with a pair of linen pants, you could go anywhere. You look great. And the Quince stuff is not only reasonable, it replaces like 10 items in your wardrobe. You just got to feel these t-shirts to be believed. They're 100% Pima cotton. The pants are comfortable and relaxed, but still polished enough to go pretty much anywhere. Everything is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd find with similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're getting premium materials without the markup. Go to hell, middleman. We don't need you. We don't need you. You have no power. That's a Wizard of Oz line. You have no power here.
Last night I was Ubering and I checked in with Kelly in between rides saying, "What are you doing?" And honestly, she responded with, "I'm on Quince looking for clothes for you." Apparently, she wants to dress me differently.
Well, I will say this. You, while I was talking earlier, you got up to check something in the back of your studio.
Yeah.
And you are wearing what looked like purple board shorts.
Yeah,
not your best look.
I've talked before that. I forgot my drink, so I had to get it out of the fridge.
Yeah, I understand.
But I have talked before about how I wear 90% of the time, and you will find out when we vacation together. 90% of the time, I'm either wearing sweatpants or like running shorts, like gym shorts.
You're welcome, ladies.
So,
no, I totally get it. And, you know, on this show, unless we're forced to do some sort of massive stunt, like getting up without using your hands, we're only seen from our chest up. So you could, pants wise, you could, but
no,
sadly, if you go to a restaurant, head to the country club for a do, you're going to want nicer pants. So I do check out Quince. I really do love their stuff. Refresh your wardrobe every day with luxury and you'll actually use this stuff. I promise. Head to quince.com/TMOS for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/TMOS for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/TMOS. Don't forget that code. And Quince also dressed Jack Klugman for many years. Not really.
He was on
a show called Quincy, you see.
Is it the bonus show that we get into? LBJ and dressing him.
Yeah, these are not like Hagar slacks, I promise you. These really... When you put on like if you rent a tuxedo and you get measured and you put on a pair of pants that have been cut for you that fit you exactly, it feels good. That's the way these Quince pants feel.
Yeah.
I like it.
Speaking of clothing.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, do you know what this is?
Okay.
Have you seen like the kids that wear these headbands? It's like a modern sweatband.
Okay. So there's no top to it.
It goes across your forehead.
There's no top to it. It's not like a beanie.
Exactly. It's a sweatband, and you'll see like the baseball players wear them and stuff, and it's like they wear it to keep the sweat out of their eyes or anything.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they'll wear it if they're not wearing a hat or something.
Right.
So I saw this one, and I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
So I asked Kelly, can I pull that off? And she laughed at me, and she said, I am trying to be the young kid on the softball team.
Oh, you're playing senior citizen softball.
Because senior citizen softball starts on Tuesday.
Right.
And I told her, I said, all right, no, serious. I now have trouble wearing hats with my hair sometimes.
Yeah, I can
and
see
I'm,
that.
And I'm not going to go the visor route because that's not for me, I don't
know.
No,
and I think that leans golf more than hard or softball. Yeah.
So I seriously said, can I get away with this? And that's where she made fun of me for being the young kid.
Yeah.
And I said, so I so she laughed at me. So instead I went to ChatGPT and said, can I get away with this?
And what'd they tell you?
And it said, absolutely. It said, not only will those colors match your skin tone and hair well,
right,
with the mohawk, it'll work perfect. And I said, prove it.
Oh, they didn't put a picture. They didn't generate a picture.
And it put me in the headband. And I
Josh,
said,
oh, I gotta agree with them.
I can get away with it.
But do you have those sunglasses?
Yeah, those are my sunglasses.
Okay, I mostly see you in an indoor environment or evening. So yes, I think you sunglasses. Look quite good. Yeah, I like that.
I saw that and I said, it does look like I'm trying to be young.
Yeah.
But I think I can get away with it.
Yeah. Could you get one that says still talking?
I don't know because this one came up on my Facebook
Do you know
page,
a still talking? I love spotlighting merch that other podcasts wouldn't have. Like, I was so proud of the TMOS playing cards, even though we sold out, but it wasn't a massive, massive hit. But I love that because I was able to actually approve the quality of the card. My daughter designed the cards and the box. It was just, I was so proud of that. Right. But you don't see like Joe Rogan playing cards because his audience isn't smart enough to remember the rules.
Now you got me inspired because I don't want a still talking sweatband, but I would like a still talking like baseball.
Yeah, see, I think that's that would the thing. Cool that's so on the cool. Shelf. I love it. Yeah, I would like a still talking DVD player for people that still have physical media.
Nobody wants that. I can go to. I'll go over to Goodwill, grab a bunch of DVD players, put a still talking sticker on it, and sell it to you.
I would love it. I'll take it as long as it comes with some and physical media.
Rolando does have a good point. That we should just cut the eye holes out, and then it becomes like a Ninja Turtle mask.
Oh, that would be great.
That would work well, too.
Well, that would sort of defeat the purpose, though.
It does defeat the purpose.
Yeah, it would actually wick the sweat into your eyes.
So thanks to ChatGPT, I have ordered myself a headband.
How much?
Way too much.
How much?
$22.
Oh, Josh, that is
plus
too
shipping.
Much. Oh, you should have at least gotten free shipping.
Yeah, I know.
I got free shipping on my book of the Gone with the Wind book.
I have a problem, and the problem
Tell
is
me
the Baltimore
about it.
Orioles.
Yeah, I know.
And they started playing well, and then I spend more money, and then I get irritated.
Josh, we all have problems. I have an Elvis problem.
Exactly.
Do you know I get press releases from Graceland to this day because they know I'm going to buy everything they put out.
Right.
I also have a Beatles problem, but I think that's more under control because
Pesci's
there's not as much
care of that.
exactly. I'm talking about the band, the Beatles.
Oh, okay.
But Elvis Presley.
Different than the Monkees.
Yeah. Oh, and did you see in the chat room all the Monkee movies?
Yes. Whoever said Outbreak is the winner.
That is a great one. 2001 A Space Odyssey. Thank you, Barrister, for Outbreak. Tarzan, of course. All the Tarzan movies. Going Ape with Tony Danza. Bedtime for Bonzo. President Reagan. Fantastic. These are all great Monkee movies.
Favorite part of this show is when we go on a tangent that's just silly and doesn't make sense, and everyone gets on board with it.
I really thought that candy-coated cataracts would be the go-to for this, but it turns out it's Monkee movies.
Monkee movies.
I could, at this point, show you the horrifying footage from the tidal wave, or I'm sorry, the tsunami, the water.
That sounds really depressing.
It is really depressing, but it is horrifying at such a level. I recommend you see it, but not here. I don't want to dissect it here.
No, no. Let's
talk Wonka. Silly. Let's talk Wonka.
All right.
Well, I just want people to know that we have Nepal on our mind. We were praying for them and we wish them well.
Right.
And it is horrifying what happened. But let's talk Wonka.
Well, let's save Wonka. Wonka is something good we can go out on.
Okay.
Because I want to give you an update on your golf TV show that you recommended to
Mike. Okay, first of all, it's not mine. I did recommend it to Mike, but yes. I mean, I'm not a reality show guy to begin with, so I will not take ownership. Well, I was pleased that I thought I discovered it.
See,
then I found out it's been on for 24 seasons.
This is a good transition from The Flood to Wonka because it's a reality show disaster.
Okay, great. Perfect.
Because as you showed that clip to Mike and They made a big deal about having guys from good golf or whatever on there.
It's one of the sponsors, I guess. Yeah.
Well, the premiere episode, which was supposed to premiere like last night, got delayed because of controversy with the good Bran.
Now, is it show a flaw in my chemical makeup that when a controversy happens, I get excited? Because I don't like reality shows, so I like to see bad things happen to bad people.
And sometimes the controversies, you watch them and you're like, eh, that's not worth a controversy. Like we talked about on the bonus show tomorrow, we talk about the Target costume.
Right.
Controversy.
Do you think this is, let's say for fun,
that the
Target controversy is valid. I don't think we all thought it was. But let's say what they're alleging is valid. Is this as troublesome as that?
I can see this being problematic.
Okay, good. Good.
So they made Good has a new driver called the Good Driver. And I think it's in partnership with Callaway or something, yeah. But that doesn't matter.
Is it good, by the way, with that name? It would almost have to be.
Well, let's just say they put out an ad for it. They put it up on their social media.
Mm-hmm.
And the response from the community was for Dick's Sporting Goods and other stores to remove all of their products from the store.
Oh, if you lose a store like Dick's, a box store, that's a huge problem.
I was looking at pictures this morning where they had walls of like good hats and merch and stuff that were now just empty because the Dick's employees were ordered to pull them all down.
Wow. It's funny because I was going to go to Dick's today and buy you a good sweatband.
And so, Rob, let's take a look at this.
Yeah, please. You've been teasing it.
And let's
see
what they did wrong.
Okay. Good presents The Driver.
Do not touch my new driver.
I don't get the big deal. It's a driver.
Johnny, no.
No.
Johnny, no. Don't do it.
John.
No.
Don't do it.
No,
oh,
no, please. No,
John.
Don't.
It's over. He's gone.
What's happening?
Not okay.
No, I assume they're clearly trying to parody some type of horror movie.
Yeah, I think so.
But you can't start it with completely knocking down a woman.
Yeah, that's really, I don't know if you're doing a horror movie or like a Lifetime movie about a beaten woman.
No.
That to me screamed domestic violence.
It was 100% domestic violence or female violence.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, he hits her hard.
Yeah.
And then the answer is, don't touch my driver.
Yeah, that's roughly the plot of the movie, The Burning Bed with Farrah Fawcett.
Every time there's a controversy like this, I just think about, how many people approved this before it got listed?
Oh,
someone
but if
wrote
anything,
the script. They all acted.
Yeah, if something like this makes it to air, it's more than one bad decision. It's a series of bad decisions.
It's 100 people that have approved this thing before it got posted. Now, it's obviously been pulled down, and they're doing some cleanup now.
Have they issued an official apology yet? Because, you know, that's going to be the next thing.
Yeah, they put up like a 10-minute apology video.
You see, that's too long. We need something short. We don't have time for 10 minutes. The show's only an hour 20.
Right.
But I guess that's a...
It's a 9-minute apology video responding to the heavy backlash.
Yeah. It's not good.
The ad, I like this, that he throws Callaway under the bus saying that it was co-created with Callaway.
Yeah, well, of course, if you're going down, grab somebody. But it doesn't make it any better that Callaway's.
No,
but Callaway is mentioned briefly, and Callaway is not getting their stuff pulled, or are they?
They are not. They are their partners for this driver, but it seems like just the good stuff is getting pulled down because this had good Brandon on it.
I think that we should get rid of that, and everyone buys an Adam driver, which is a very quiet, understated, scary acting driver. Or a mini driver. It was very pretty. Well,
I think they should just rebrand this the bad driver and just resell it.
It's. Can you run just the first part, just the tackle with the young lady again?
Just the
because
part
it's really remarkable. This guy just lays this girl out flat. You know what, Josh? You've blocked it because it's so inappropriate.
Oh, is it not playing there?
No, it's not. It's okay. Oh, here we go. Sorry. Thank you. The lady grabs the driver.
That's now, the face of your new club.
Is it? Is this like women fighting in the squared circle? Is this violence against women? Is this trying to make equality that women can be tough too? Is this Mike's kink?
Maybe, because Good is going after like the younger crowd, and it's a younger like maybe there's something where that connects with like the younger
I don't know
boys.
But you know that spot would have been okay if you know what, there's a funny fat guy in the ad at the end. Why doesn't he tackle the funny fat guy?
The spot would have been fine if he knocked down a man.
Yeah, exactly.
Or even better, a monkey.
Oh, now you're talking. A golfing monkey. You know what? The Little Rascals had a short called Divot Diggers that has a monkey in it. So that's another good monkey movie. And
well,
if you Google it on...
Brady Bunch had a monkey before, too.
Yeah. If you Google Divot Diggers, it's a great, great Little Rascals short. All right. Closing thoughts. We have an update on the Wonka reality show.
Yeah,
this is like reality show heavy, this final segment.
It is. It seems like they are going with a horror theme.
Barrister says there's a joke in there somewhere about women drivers. That's funny.
I'm so excited for this. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It's just like the movie.
A whole generation of golden ticket holders will compete against
huge
each other
studio.
In my factory.
For a lifetime supply of money.
Wait, what?
I'm gonna be tired.
It's game on. I'm ready to play.
Going up, some of you are going down.
In the Wonkavator.
Wonka has this fun, but he also has this dark side.
You will test my factory.
They've got me sucked in by the set and the Oompa Loompa.
Yeah.
Or is my factory testing you?
Whoa.
Don't worry. Something only goes wrong 3 times out of 10.
There's always a twist.
No.
Don't know what to expect.
Oh, wow. There's the white TV room.
It's the lickable wallpaper.
The lickable wallpaper.
How am I going to live with these people after this?
If you don't have alliances, you're going home.
Bro!
You're going to put a mother against a daughter.
Your tour has been terminated.
Let's go!
Remember why you're here.
I'm doing this for my family. There's a lifetime supply of money on the line.
I guess I could afford to terminate a few more.
All right, I'm in. I'm in.
With a complaint
that they still haven't gotten Gene Wilder's AI voice right.
They haven't.
But it's still...
And they didn't... They did not steal his voice. They paid handsomely to use his voice.
Yeah, they did. I do think that if this has a weakness... I mean, it's definitely creative. I'm trying to think if there's any other reality show that's based on a piece of pop culture like that.
I don't know, because they nailed it.
They really did. The set
so much
looks
of it
like
in it.
Down to the ceiling. The ceiling looks like the Wonka ceiling. But like any other reality show, it's about alliances and challenges.
Yeah.
And crying, and that's what's going to...
Right. But
if anything loses
so good,
me,
I'm in.
Yeah. I wonder how the lickable wallpaper is.
I don't know. You see the girl that's got it all on like her face afterwards.
Yeah,
that's a little concerning.
And then the guy that got the cream off the top of the mushroom. Good for him.
Yeah.
I mean,
at least now though, you can tell who licked the wallpaper before you.
Yeah.
That was always a concern of mine in the movies was you just lick it. Now the next person comes and licks it.
Well, as Larry King would say, any wallpaper is lickable if you're not expecting flavor. All right. Well, I think we covered a lot of stuff, including monkey movies.
Hey, it was a great show.
No monkeys in Wonka, huh?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
All right. We will keep taking your monkey submissions. I hope everyone had a great Founders Day podcast episode. Hope you enjoyed it. And remember, if you go to stilltalkinpodcast.com, you can become a founder and a permanent part of Still Talkin' history. Your name will go nowhere. It'll stay there forever.
Yeah, you get up on that wall.
Yeah, well, not forever, because I do want to apologize. One of our founding members was Good Good Golf, and we had to take them down. Yes.
That sponsorship's really going to hurt. So yeah, if you want to fill in with that.
Ouch. Yeah, get in there good. Josh, thanks a million. Appreciate it.
Hey, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, we have a producer club tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, yes. And we will talk to you then. Love you, Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Meara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.